Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love for us. God, for giving us your word and for being with us, God. Never leaving us nor forsaking us. And teaching us, God, how to walk with you and walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in our 10th sermon on discipleship. And interestingly, we had a question posed to us in one of my classes by a class I'm taking on spiritual formation by our professor, and the discussion topic was enrollment of all things, classes that this particular church, I'm not sure if it was the professor's church or whatever, but they offered three classes. They were going to launch, you know, I guess, a season on discipleship. One was on financial management, and the other one was on world cults, and the third class was on discipleship. And lo and behold, of a very big church. I think it was like 600-member church. It was a pretty big church. And lots of people signed up for the financial management class. Probably majority of the people signed up for the financial management class. And then a good chunk. And then there was just like less than a dozen signed up for the discipleship class. So she, you know, posed the question, you know, to us. What do you think? I mean, why do you think this is happening? Why are people not interested in discipleship? And so I wrote my professor an email, actually, after the discussion, and kind of relayed to her, you know, some unpleasant things that I think, you know, that I've been uncovering, you know, just I think over the past few years, but, you know, just more, I think, sadly, you know, over the past few months, as I'm pondering, is, you know, God's been sharing with me and why we're doing this series. And that is, I think, there's a widely held belief that Jesus, I mean, if I said this, this probably would be controversial, okay? But I feel like I have to say it to you. There is no word for Christian in Scripture. Christian is a cultural word of today. And so, and here it is for, and why we're doing this series, why I believe there are not that great interest in discipleship. Because I believe that people believe that being a disciple is the icing on a cake. Not essential to heaven, but great to know. And, you know, that it is the extra. So if you meet a Christian who embraces the idea of being a disciple, like, he's extra, right? That's what my coworkers tell me, right? You're extra, right? And because I think, and just not all Christians go to heaven. Does that surprise you? There are only disciples in heaven. I don't know if that's shocking to you. And because Jesus, when he came to make disciples. And he spent a great deal of time actually dismissing the crowd or running away from the crowd. And he would say some pretty controversial things. Then of the bunch, then he would say words like, in the crowd, well, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Right? And it was controversial. And for some reason, and I think what, you know, what I was writing is so much of the message of the gospel is, you know, and I think we talked about it, is taken from the epistles, the letters of Paul mainly, and ignore the message of the gospel that the kingdom is near and that the invitation of the gospel is really an invitation into kingdom life. And then, so we have this idea that if you just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you get that he died for you on the cross, then you're a Christian. Even without any interest in the kingdom life. And now, Jesus didn't teach that. And that's why he was such a controversial figure. Now, I believe with all my heart, if you take the epistles in context of the gospels, and not the other way around, not to try to fit the gospels and all that Jesus talked about into the epistles, then you would then get, well, I think Paul was saying stuff in support of what Jesus said. And that's what I wrote back to my professor. And she was like, well, I agree with everything you said. And I think that's why we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble because we like to think well of everybody, you know? And we want everybody to believe that we're all going to be there. I'll see you. I'll see you in heaven. Irrespective of whether you're a disciple. It's like saying all the crowds, guess what? It's like we're at the one big Oprah Winfrey show. Here's a car for everybody. Right? Well, I think it's a critical message. If there's probably one series. Because you know why? Not just Jesus, but Paul, right, created a lot of tension in Scripture on the assurance of salvation. And they never resolved it. Right? Work out your salvation. I mean, it was talking about, like, make sure, like, you are going through the narrow gate, staying on that path, because that in the end you will be saved. Meaning, that's how you know you're a disciple. Because you know why? It's like running the race, right?
I was just talking to somebody about this.
Like, Paul says, the Christian life is like running a race. Now, every race that I've ever ran in my life, okay, especially these long races, like when I ran cross country, right? There are two kinds of people and two kinds of finishes in a race. There's the kind of people that when they see the finish line, they sprint to the finish. People are like cheering them on. Like, now you might have been a schmuck the entire race. Man, this is hard, you know? And then you see like, oh, a bunch of people. I mean, what are they gonna think of me? And then you start booking it, right? That was me, right? It's like, man, I don't want to, you know, it's like chokpalyo and all these other kinds of things, you know, like these emotions and, you know, like you just like, woo, woo, you like get that energy at the end, right? Then there's people like, they see the finish and it's like, yeah, I just give up. You know what I mean? Like they just start walking, right? Like, I just don't get it. I mean, if the Christian life is a race, right? And you see the finish, I don't know a lot of people, right, that like towards the end of their life, they're like, man, I see the finish line. Yeah, I'm going to retire. You know, like now it's about me, right? Now I'm just going to retire and I'm going to go off into the golf course because it'll be about me. Well, that's not a race. You're just like giving up. Because, you know, in a race, you want to finish well. Finish well. Because it's a race. And so disciples see it as a race, right? And they got that ambition. Like, I want to run this race. I want to run it hard. Now, this is a very important message. I'm not a great man, right? But I can tell you, if there's a series of, because this is not about me. This is what God is saying to you. If there is a series of messages that is absolutely that everybody should listen to, it's this series. Because there are not a lot of places you're going to go to and get that. And I feel so privileged that God would share the gospel with us and with you. And let you know, at least you're clear. Like, oh, these are the qualities. This is not the icing on the cake. This is the cake. This is the cake. I promise you, it's the cake. As much as I understand scripture, people who are honest, as I listen, you know, it's like, this is it. So, we're going to talk about disciples. Now, here's what Jesus is depicting, okay? And I will surmise to you that disciples are fearless, they are fulfilled, and they are courageous. And that's God's goal for us. Okay? And that's always, you know why? Because that's been the goal from the beginning. There's not a phrase, okay, that I can think of that is more used and said more often by God than fear not. And then right afterwards, he says, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. Like that I am with you is actually the word Emmanuel, God with us. That is at the heart of the gospel, that God is with you. That's the reason why God gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we would know that God is with us. Why? So that we would fear not. Now, what is fear? Fear is an emotion. And I will surmise to you, all right, there's a cause of that emotion, and we will go through that. So what causes fear? So what is fear? Now, let's take a look. Genesis 26, 24. Now, Isaac, this is what God is saying to Isaac, and Isaac, like Abraham, is in a place called Gerar, right? It's the land of the Philistines. It's a city in the land of the Philistines. And Abimelech is the king of the Philistines. And so like his father, the sins of the father visiting the sin of the son, right? He sees how powerful the armies of the Philistines. And he's like, well, I'm going to lie. I'm going to just say, Rebecca is not my wife. Just like his father did when he was in this, right? He's like, just like his father, he lied about Sarah being his wife, and so his son lies. I mean, you would think that Abraham learned his lesson and would say, hey, Isaac, whatever you do, man, don't lie about your wife being your sister, right? Well, that's, guess what? Isaac does the same thing. And then then Abimelech, right, thinks, you know, that, you know, this attractive lady is not his wife. So, like, and then all of a sudden he witnesses the interaction between Isaac and Rebecca and realizes that, you know, Rebecca is his wife. And then he calls Isaac, but what were you thinking? Like, people were going to do some stuff to her. And like, because you said that it wasn't your wife. Like, and you just looked at him as don't be such a coward. Right? And then, but he left him alone. And then Isaac, you know, because of God and intervention, and so Isaac grew to be very prosperous. Now here he is. Now he's like in another city, in a very similar place, just a couple miles down the road in Beersheba. And so God appears to Isaac, and this is what he says. And the Lord appeared to him the same night when he arrived in Beersheba and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you. So God's like, okay, Isaac, you're taking matters into your own hands. You're scared out of your wits. You know, I just want you to know, like, I was with your father. I'm going to be with you. You don't have to go around lying and doing all kinds of stuff. You don't have to cheat on your taxes, right? I'm going to be with you. And the Egyptians, right? This is about the Exodus now. The people have left Egypt. Moses is leading them. Now they're right at the Red Sea, and he's parted the Red Sea. And this is what Moses says to the people. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Like, don't be afraid. I mean, like, God parted the Red Sea. You don't have to be, like, afraid. Jeremiah 42, okay, the Babylonians, right, were the power of the day.
And people were afraid. And so God is like reminding them, like, you don't have to trust in horses. You don't have to trust in chariots. Trust in the Lord your God. You know, but the king, you know, and all the leaders are like, you know, just like spinning. Like, well, we got to make these alliances. And, you know, you got to run away. And like everybody for themselves, you know, kind of thing. And so this is what God says through Jeremiah. He says, do not fear him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his, which is the king of Babylon, hand. I will grant you mercy that he may have mercy on you and let you remain in your own land. God is saying, like, just like King Abimelech of the Philistines, right, is I'm gonna just work in this king's heart, so he's going to leave you alone, just like I did with King Abimelech. And he says, don't worry about it. They're encamped all around you, but they're not going to attack you unless I want them to attack you. And let you remain in your own land. But if you say, we will not remain in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord. Now, in rebellion to what I'm saying, your God is saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall not see war or hear the sound of the trumpet or be hungry for bread, and we will dwell there, then hear the word of the Lord. If you set your face to enter Egypt and go to live there, then the sword that you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine of which you are afraid shall follow close after you to Egypt, and there you shall die. What I'm saying is, if you think you can't give up your computer, if you think you can't give up your Netflix, if you think you can't give up whatever it is, if you think, right? Well, no, I'm not giving that up. Whatever it is that you're turning to, right? Whatever you're turning to is your God. Are you feeling bad? You know, feeling, you know, restless? Whatever in that moment you turn to, that's your God. Isaiah, fear not, same thing. For I am with you. Be not be dismayed. That's like being fearful and then being discouraged as a result. That's dismay. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So what does that mean? What God is saying is fear. Fear is an emotion. And it is the result of unbelief. Do you remember that TED Talk that we showed? Emotions are predictions that your brain makes. There is no such thing as an emotion that is thoughtless. Every emotion you have is because you have a thought. And they create those emotions. That's why we talked about, right? Comparison is something that you will do. You can't try to not compare. But the way you compare and how you compare is absolutely critical. Because one will lead to envy. The other will lead to gladness and joy. So comparisons, but like a lot of things, predictions is another way of saying faith, what you believe. And God is like, I am with you, like, which is the gospel. Like, do you believe, right? Because that's when God is saying, I will strengthen you, right? Because when you are with God, then there is a strengthening there. There's a help that's going on. Because God knows when you do things to obey God, like stay in the land. Don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land. Give those things up. I know. It's like, just obey me. And when you do that, you're going to have a hard time believing God. And God knows that. God knows that it's hard to obey him. That's why he says, I'm with you. That's why he says, don't be afraid, because our tendency is not to believe him. Our tendency is to flee and escape. Escape into our phones. Escape into the internet. Escape into our food. Right? Our tendency is to escape because it's hard to do what God says to do. That's why God says, see, when you don't believe what I'm saying, then there's a disconnect. And that disconnect feels like fear. That's why God says, I'm with you. Man, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. What he's saying is believe. Believe me. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. You're not going to crumble when you give it up. You're not going to die because you're without this. You're not going to die because you're not escaping. It's okay to have an awkward moment in the elevator without whipping out your phone. It's okay to stand in line without whipping out your phone. It's okay to look around you. Have small talk with the people in front of you and behind you. It's okay not to escape, even if you're in rush hour, right? You don't have to try to be somewhere else. Just be in the moment. Let God help you. Cry out to God. So in John 14, 26, that's exactly Jesus' plan. The very Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because we would not fear. Jesus came as God with us, right? Because so that we don't have to be afraid, which means we can believe him, right? He will be more believable. So John 14, 26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Now that's important. We're going to park that. It says, and then he says that the Holy Spirit is going to give peace. I leave you with you. Why? Because peace is what? A fruit of the Spirit, right? Because when you have God with you, in you, you're going to be good. If you know how to turn to him. And so peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. It's not like your smartphone, and it's not like, you know, the internet. It's not like food or other means of escape. Because that's the world's offer to you. World's offer is, I'm going to allow you to escape the moment. God is like, I'm going to help you stay in the moment. That's the difference. That's the difference. Not as the world gives you. Because you know why? God's in control. He created that moment for you. You don't have to try to escape it. I know it's rush hour. You know? I know. It's like, I know it's a long line. I know it's a wrong, you know, I know it's 30 floors up to the neck, you know, in the elevator with that smelly guy. I know that. But be in the moment. Let me help you with that. Let not your hearts be what? He says, now that I've given you the Holy Spirit, right? I'm giving you the words. Now that I've done that, what does he say? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus is saying, I came as the I am, but I'm going to do one better than that. I'm not just going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, according to Romans. Powerful stuff, folks. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. You know what that means? Guys, as soon as you begin to move out on the commands of Jesus, okay, you're going to start getting scared, and you're going to turn around. You're going to be like Frodo taking the ring right to the end, and you're going to be like, I can't drop that phone. I can't drop the internet there. You're going to turn around because you're not going to be able to give it up without his help. And sometimes God brings Gollum to help you. Okay? For those who understand Lord of the Rings. All right? That might be in the form of cancer. My brother has Parkinson's. I was straight up with him. I said, Joe, I don't pity you. God doesn't, you know, he's sovereign. God wants to help you. God loves you, man. And I love you. And, I mean, I'm praying that you be healed. But not as I will, but thy will be done. You know, we don't have to be afraid. We can talk about stuff like that. I'm straight up with my brother. Because you know why? I need help sometimes just to let go of things. You know, God, give me courage to do it without Gollum. But if I'm going to need Gollum, God, give me Gollum. All right. And why? And here it says, and behold, because a life of obedience, when you start teaching them, you have to also be reminded, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Like, don't forget. It's not like you're not doing it alone. Because when you serve, God serves you. When you obey, God serves you. God helps you. God strengthens you. Like, if you don't know what it feels like to be helped by God or to be strengthened by God, you got to kind of wonder. Like, if you don't know that feeling, it's probably because you're probably in rebellious mode. Because if you're moving out in obedience, God's going to help you if you turn to Him. So what is the solution to fear? And what is the purpose of courage? Because you don't just say courage, right? Because if fear is the emotion of unbelief, then courage is the emotion of belief. Let me expound on that, okay? So God is love, and God says, okay, and the Pharisees are like, okay, what, teacher? Which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. It's like, right? Two sides of the same coin, right? One great commandment, right? Second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, you would think if God said, like, everything I've ever talked about, like, could be summarized by loving God and loving others. You know that in his disciples, he's going to give them some help. Right? Here's the thing. If you're a disciple, God is helping you with this commandment. Now, if God is not helping you with this commandment, then you're not his disciple. Because this is the great stuff. So that means that as your life is going on, that over the years you've noticed you become a more loving person. That's how you know that you're his disciples. Because God doesn't give commandments that he does not intend to help you with. That's the goal of God. And God will give us the golems of the world, the obstacles of the world, the sicknesses of the world to help us to become more loving people. Because you know why? Even Paul's like, look, I glory in all my weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This is the great one. Like, everything he's ever talked about can be summarized like that. And John 15 says it again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Here's the thing. What is great love in this, like, with all your heart and all your mind kind of stuff? What does that look like? What does that feel like? It feels like courage. So that we, you know, like, it's like, oh, let me love with all my heart, all my soul, but let me do it not courageously. There's no such thing. The greatest commandment of God requires courage. The greatest commandment of God requires you to believe that. God will help you to become a loving person if you're his disciple in the story. Over the years, okay? It's like, man, I, you know, when I'm 70 years old, I want to be more loving. Like, that's how you sprint, doing acts of love. He then goes on to say this, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Like, sometimes, you know, you read that and goes, oh, that's kind of like a conditional friend. That's not a good friend. What does he mean by that? These things I command you, why? So that you will love one another. He's talking about, like, you're my friend if you love one another. That's what he's saying, right? He's not saying, like, some selfishly, like, oh, like go and shine my shoes. I mean, if you love me, you'll shine my shoes and wash my car and, you know, wash the bathtub. Like, that's not that, is it? It says, you're my friends if you love one another. Because, like, we're of the same mind. We're like one. And I love my people. And if you're my friend, then you're going to love them too. And these things I command you. Because the things that Jesus command, the end goal in all of that is this. To love one another. You know why? Because it's the greatest commandment. And God is all about the greatest. It's like we almost see it like, oh, courage. That's like the icing on the cake. You don't need courage to love. Like, that would be the icing on the cake. No. Like, you just, look, God is holy. That means he is cut above the rest. It's just so surprising that God, like, becoming a disciple, like, Jesus looked for people that he could radicalize. Do you know what I'm saying? Wow, like, Henry, did you honestly use that word? Yeah. Think about it. Do you know anybody that ever followed Jesus that wasn't radicalized? Not for violence, but for love. If you keep my commandments, this is earlier, this is how he prefaced what he said there, right? It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, which is what? Go and go to the cross. And Jesus is going to be praying, God, like, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not as I will, but thy will be done. I want to do what you want. Why? Because it's good for me. It's the best. It is literally the best for me and best for, like, just everything. And so, if you will abide in my love, that's the most loving thing to do. And abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. Why? Like, why is he saying all this? Because he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You know why he's telling you to become like this? This radical disciple? So you learn to be happy. So you could learn to be happy. Not by escaping your moments, because it's a sucky world. It is. The world kind of sucks. But the solution of God and the solution of the gospel isn't for you to escape it. That when you learn in those moments to become loving, then your joy will be full. Because you know why? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Quote unquote. And that word blessed means happy. Like, that's why we're here. We're learning to be happy disciples by being able to stay in the moment, embracing the moment, and learning how to be loving in that moment. And so that takes, the Great Commission then takes on another, right? It just takes on a clarity, doesn't it? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Like, teach them, like, when you obey God, you abide in his word, right? You're gonna learn that all of those commandments of Jesus, right, is not to make you unhappy and suffocate you, right? And to rob you of all the world's pleasures. You don't have to fear missing out. But you're going to have to miss out. And why? Because he wants you to be happy. And Jesus promises, and behold, I'm with you always. Look, he's not going anywhere. To the end of the age. He's going to be right there with you doing. You know why? Because that's a disciple. Disciple is one who labors with Christ to do this thing, to transform, to become this loving individual. Galatians 5:14 says this, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Romans 13:8, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." When we begin to believe that God is after us to do kingdom life, and when we begin to embrace the gospel and not be afraid of tomorrow and everything that tomorrow brings. I used to be afraid when I, you know, like coming from complete dysfunctional high school dropout to like then going into the army, I was a scared little rat. Like I had 3 alarms set in different parts of the room. I was so afraid that I would not get up because I was pretty messed up. And I wanted to get out of the military with all my heart, but they wouldn't let me out because I had taken their money. You know, it's like, hey, give you guys money, now you owe us some time, right? And I was scared out of my wits. I didn't know what tomorrow brought. And it was only when God began to slowly, he's like, Henry, I didn't trap you in the army because I don't like you. I trapped you in the army because I want to grow you. I want you to become a loving person. But you got to get some stuff straight. I'm gonna throw you some stuff, right? I'm going to make you miserable for a while, right? Just like Shane, right? Going to football camp now, I heard, right? Miserable. Miserable days, right? 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 So you're going to become strong. And so this is what Jesus says. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. See how he ties faith and fear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But it's about the kingdom. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. That's the good news, isn't it? If you believe in Christ, you don't ever have to be afraid. You say, you know what? God, what do you mean to do today? Like, and what is it that you want me to do? And then you just say, okay, I think you want me to do that. And so I'm going to go to work. If I'm a student, I'm just going to go to study. And I don't have to fear of missing out. And I don't have to, you know, I don't have to fear. And then God will start adding everything. You know, like it'll begin to make sense. Right? The turbulence. Right? And because when we begin to become single-minded, because you remember last week, what does James say? The double-minded people are unstable. That means things are going to happen to you in life. Because you're double-minded. You want both. You want the world, the accolades, right? Like you want it all. And so like you become unstable and God begins to throw some stuff your way. And God's like, well, seek first the kingdom. And we don't have to be afraid. Like whatever happens, let it happen. You don't ever have to be afraid. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, if you're anxious, if you have fear, like your job or whatever it might be, your relationships, it says what? We never think, like, I have fear because I don't believe God. It's not intuitive to think that. But you do. You lack faith. That's why you fear. If we admit that to ourselves and say, you know what? Like, because obedience is all about belief. If you are worried about tomorrow, go and be loving. Well, that doesn't seem like the solution to fear. It is actually. What's the most loving thing I can do right now? When I'm all anxious. Well, that doesn't seem like, well, I don't know. I know it's not natural. And I know it's not intuitive. You can't park your life in neutral. Live selfishly because you're afraid of tomorrow and think that you're living a disciple's life. You can't. You got to kick that into gear. Even though you're afraid, and God says, I'm with you. I know the future isn't all figured out. I know things don't look quite rosy right now. But don't park a loving life, okay? Because that life is today. Do you remember? He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Like the Holy Spirit's job in those moments when conflicts come and all these things, like the Holy Spirit's job is to say, okay, like this is what Jesus is saying about that. Like this is what Jesus is saying. And if we just listen, because things that Jesus is talking about, if we really believe the Bible, he's talking about how to be loving in those situations. Well, I don't want to be loving to my, you know, friend. He just kind of, you know, betrayed me. Well, I don't want to be like, Holy Spirit is reminding us of things. How to live our lives in this moment. Your next step, which is to connect with God. And I'm going to just leave you with this final verse. What's the final verse? Because it's really, it says, I like the way Paul says it. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. First of all, like what we're talking about in fear, it's not intuitive to think, you know, I'm anxious, I can't go to sleep right, I'm getting sick, or, you know, whatever it is that we're encountering. Like it doesn't, we don't think, man, I better offer myself as a living sacrifice. I better surrender myself to Jesus. Maybe I'm holding on to this thing. That's exactly what it is, folks. That's what exactly what this is. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. And go back to the previous verse. How do you renew your mind? Allow the Holy Spirit what? Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. When you surrender yourself and say, okay, God, not as I will, but thy will be done. When you come, like, okay, what is it that you want me to give up again? You mean to throw what away? What do you mean to, like, how do you mean to lock this down? What is it that you want, God? Because I'm willing, whatever. I surrender myself to you. And because, God, you want me to be taking steps of love? You want me to start getting with folks? And you want me to start connecting with you, praying through anxiousness and fear, right? And then what's going to happen when we start surrendering ourselves, letting go of things, stop trying to escape the moments that God sovereignly brings into your life? Don't hate your moments, folks. Love your moments. Because every moment that you have is God ordained, and God does not make mistakes. Stop trying to solve it all. Embrace it to say, God, what is it that you're saying? Holy Spirit, bring to mind what you mean to. God, I surrender myself to you. If you want me to be humble, if you want me to be low, whatever it is, I offer myself up as a living sacrifice. I promise you, if you do that, you'll be transformed. You'll be different. I hope you die different. So here's what I leave with you. Fear and loneliness is the emotion of unbelief. Independence is the ambition of fear. Courage is the emotion of belief. Obedience is the ambition of courage. Gonna read it again. Fear and loneliness is the emotion of unbelief. Independence is the ambition of fear. Courage is the emotion of belief. Obedience is the ambition of courage. Let's pray. Even as we're wrestling, God, just the fear of God doing without. God, just this fear, just rule by it. Anxiousness, God, just sickened by fear. And just sickened by the worries of tomorrow, God. And I just pray now for your Holy Spirit to go, God. I just pray. God, I know you, because you're real, and you just want to go. And I just want you to just bring to their mind now, God, you're Emmanuel. God, you're with us. And you've given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. God, not just to be with us, but in us. To bring to remembrance, God, because he is the helper, that you will help us. That in our moments of difficulty, that you're going to strengthen us. And so now, God, this is how we want to believe. God, we surrender to you. We surrender to you, God, and we now just ask that you would renew our minds and give us, God, an ambition to obey. And so, God, if there's anyone here holding back, God, just the rubbishness of what the world offers, God, I just pray, whether it's fame, pleasures, whatever it is, that we would just let go, God. Let go. I just pray that you would bring a holy wisdom just over this place. Just a willing heart to love, God. Just not delay that for another day, but just embrace it. Just go low. And just, God, abide in you. I know you're just making us into loving people. And I know this is it right here, today. That's what you're doing. And you're going to do that tomorrow and all the days to come. Because you're ambitious for us. And you love us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.